This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 226 in the series. My thanks to Representative Jeff Roy for making some time in his schedule to join me for a virtual conversation about COVID-19 and what's happening in the state government as he works virtually. The audio segment runs around 20 minutes, so listen into my conversation with Rep. Jeff Roy.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for joining me here, this virtual meeting. I know we were supposed to meet potentially at the Senior Center, but under these pandemic circumstances, virtual works. So thank you for taking some time to do so.
And thank you for doing this. I can't tell you what a great public service this is, especially in a time like this. And I know you've been at this for 15 to 20 years.
Well, not quite that long.
I remember you coming to the school committee meetings, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah. No, 2007 was when Franklin Matters was born.
Okay, so that's 13
years. Prior. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
14,
it's great.
It's getting on. It feels like it's getting on 20 because it's been so busy recently, but.
Well, that's good. No, thank you for doing this. And, as you noted, we were going to be at the Franklin Senior Center this morning. And, I miss seeing all those folks and seeing all the town councilors and, us talking about the issues of the day. But, this is the next best thing. So happy to
sure.
be.
Yeah, so let's start with the key issue of the day. I know you've been posting, I think if I remember correctly, you've got three updates out. I've been sharing them in terms of your newsletters. It's a rather dynamic and, let's say, fluid situation. So you're continuing to keep us abreast. So thank you for that. Can you give us a little bit of insight? I mean, obviously you're not in Boston.
Right.
What is your day like now?
Well, my last day at the State House was on Tuesday, and it was rather surreal being in that building because that day it had been closed to the public. And as I was walking to the door, and I'm walking into the people's house and see a sign that it's not open to the public, that it really shook me. That we are at a time that is so serious and so fragile that we can't even open the people's house. So, but I went in and there were certainly people working and government continues to function. That's the most essential thing that I think people should be aware of, that we are still conducting business in the state government. As a matter of fact, for the Higher Education Committee, I had a deedline this week of March 20th to report out all the finance and student debt bills. And so I was vigorously working to put the final touches on that piece on Tuesday. I had my budget meeting with the Ways and Means Chair scheduled for Tuesday. So I was working on pieces that I wanted to see in the budget, both for the state level and for the local district. And I also had to do some budget work for the Higher Education Committee, talking about what priorities we wanted to see addressed in the budget regarding higher education. So it was an incredibly busy day. But at the same time, we were dealing with all of the issues focused on COVID-19 and, restaurants closing, gatherings being restricted, testing, personal protective equipment, making sure that, communication was being done on a timely basis and the correct information was getting out. So it has become probably the most busy time I have ever experienced as being a state representative. And that's not a complaint. That's just stating the new reality that I think we're all living in. And we're going to get through this without question, but it's really going to be dependent upon the level of communication and information that we're able to get out to people so that the appropriate decisions can be made about what to do.
Yeah, I agree. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this. And we hadn't mentioned, but clearly because of the fluidity of this recording and trying to make it somewhat green, given the fluidity of the changes, you know, specific details will be available via the links that you've shared, and that'll be shared as part of the podcast and, you know, links going out through social. So we won't get into some, you know, numbers, if you will, or whatever the latest is, and talk as you started in terms of kind of the big picture, the background, what's really happening. And I think that'll make, we have the opportunity here to find out from you what's really going on.
Sure.
In terms of making those decisions, and we'll hear about those decisions as they go. But yeah, I agree. We're in this together. What will the new normal be? I think that's still being defined. So hopefully the one piece, in my walking around, I know people certainly are obeying with the social distancing. You know, a neighbor of mine who was walking down my home street crossed to the other side of the road and then apologized for doing so. No apologies necessary. This is what's required. So kudos for you for doing that. And thank you. Let's hope that kind of extends, because clearly this virtual meeting and then the other social tools, that's going to enable us to conduct business, to share info. And right. Let's hope that the behavior in those tools improves, because clearly there have been opportunities where the behavior hasn't been so good.
You know, it's interesting you bring up that social distancing experience that you had with your neighbor. And one of the graphics that I shared on the webpage that I set up was it was a graphic piece from the Milford Daily News. They did a full page just on social distancing and saying, you know, making it clear that it's not about you, it's about us, and that how these social distancing, quarantines, and isolation are being used to contain the coronavirus pandemic and to limit its impact on public health. So it's not about not about a specific people that encounter one another. It's about trying to stem the spread of this disease, because it is 10 times more contagious than the average flu. So the better that we are in keeping people away from each other, the better we're going to be in stemming the spread of the disease.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's the key piece is we really don't know who has it. I mean, realistically, until we're tested, until we develop the symptoms and then get into the testing, we don't even know if we're carrying. I'm at least in good health. It looks like good health. It looks like you're in good health, and let's hope that continues to stay. But that reinforces the point, because even if we were carrying and in good health, we could be talking to somebody else or meeting with somebody else and then pass it along to them, who may not be so fortunate to respond accordingly. So, yeah,
that's one of the things, young, youthful, healthy people have no idea that they can be carrying this because they don't feel any symptoms. And, you know, they tend to continue to gather. And I think it was rather frightening on St. Patrick's Day to see all the activity around bars and, you know, not seeming to understand that that behavior has a tremendous impact on public health. Mm-hmm. And, I don't necessarily blame them for what they were doing. I think it's a lack of understanding.
Right.
And the information is somewhat misleading, because, we're getting information from various sources. And, one of the key things is try to filter it and try to understand what is the truth and what is, leading you down the wrong way. So I think with better information that's out there, I think people are beginning to understand the gravity of this. And I do hope that people are understanding that just because you're not exhibiting signs and symptoms does not mean that you are not infected. In fact, you could be, and you could be putting other lives in danger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it comes down, of course, certainly to, making sense of the family piece, Do we go visit Dolores's mother down in West Warwick? She may need to go shopping, and then how do we do that? Those decisions each of us are going to have to face in our own way, but we're going to have to make, good choices and take precautions where possible.
No question about it.
So while you were in Boston on Tuesday, you haven't been back. I assume you might be working remotely.
Yes, I have a district office in Franklin that, I've had now for 7 years, and I'm working out of that office these days because it doesn't have me exposed to as many people.
Sure.
And, it's close to home. And yep. It's a place where I can set up shop. Most of the communications I'm having now are virtual communications.
Like this.
Like exactly what we're doing right now. Yep. I've participated. As a matter of fact, I had to do a seminar on Monday that was supposed to take place at LaSalle University. And we ended up doing it via zoom.com, and mm-hmm. we had people from all over New England, and everybody was seated in a living room in an office or at a desk, and we all were communicating with one another, and we were able to conduct the business that we needed to conduct at that seminar. My takeaway from it was, boy, I miss being in the room with all these folks, because there is a certain dynamic that occurs when you're all sitting around a round table, looking at each other, and taking the social cues from when people may put their pen down. These are things you can't see on a video, but we got our business done, but I'm looking forward to getting back to interacting in a normal human space, face to face, sitting down with one another,
mm-hmm.
sharing a meal.
Yeah, and I know in terms of the business, and you said you're filing updates and reports, et cetera. I'm assuming that as necessary, the House and the Senate will get together for whatever votes are required, but presumably virtually. I know that the governor had changed some open meeting law requirements in regards to at least, and I focused on it from a local perspective in terms of, Franklin town government, but I'm assuming that has some impacts for you as well.
Well, remarkably, folks should understand that the House is in session, as long with the Senate, practically every day. These are informal sessions, and informal sessions are sessions where legislation can actually be enacted. The only difference between a formal and an informal session is that during an informal session, it only takes one member of the body to stand up and object and shut down a session. So most of the legislation that's being done right now is being done on unanimous consent.
Right.
And so the bugs are being worked out of any particular bills, and mm-hmm. agreements are being reached so that bill can get to the House floor and be voted on by the members there that are present. It's a small number of people. But as I said, if there's anything in that legislation that just one person out of 160 doesn't like, they can effectively just object and the session is shut down. A perfect example of that is the unemployment insurance initiative. So ordinarily you have to wait a week before you can get your benefits. But what we're seeing right now is that people are hurting. They're losing their jobs. They, many businesses are closing and shutting down, and people need relief immediately. So a bill was filed on Monday and it made it through the House and the Senate by Wednesday. And it was signed by the governor within an hour of it being put on his desk. And that was to waive the requirement of a week and to expedite the handling of unemployment claims in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And as an example of why this is so necessary, during the month of February, we had approximately 17,000 unemployment claims during that whole month.
Right, yeah.
On Tuesday of this week, we had almost 20,000 claims in one day.
Yeah, staggering.
That gives you a glimpse of just how enormous the enormous impact of this coronavirus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Had I still been working, I'm sure I would be working remotely. But now that I'm retired, I've been watching the market and that hasn't done too well. So I'm hoping that it will eventually come back.
One thing I can recommend, don't watch the market.
I'm certainly not watching it on a regular basis. I've got far too many other things to do. Absolutely. Yep. Good. So you're certainly busy. As you mentioned, you're busier than you have been, being mindful of your time. Any other insights you want to share with the group?
Well, I'll say, so I started doing updates last week. I think the first one I did was on a Friday. And things have changed so rapidly in this space that I did an update on Friday. On Sunday, that was following the press conference where the governor made a host of new announcements.
Yep.
And things had changed so dramatically in the next couple of days that I did another update on Wednesday. Right. I've seen that this is so fluid and changing so rapidly that I decided that in addition to the email updates that I was doing, and I would post them on Facebook, I actually created a web page on my website, which is jeffreyroy.com, JeffreyRoy.com, mm-hmm. that will list all of the information that I've provided in the email updates, but also has some graphics, some videos, and more importantly, links to every single one of the issues that are raised there. And I think to have all of this information in one place and organized by subject matter, I think is helpful for people who are looking for particular pieces of information. I also link folks into the Commonwealth of Massachusetts COVID-19 site,
sure,
that was set up by the Department of Public Health. Yep. And also Franklin has a COVID-19 portal page, so that's correct, linked. And the other community I represent is Medway. So that's there. Information on virtual office hours. Obviously, I can't meet with folks face-to-face, and that's always an important moment every month, having those office hours, having an opportunity to hear what's on people's minds. So with your good help, we're gonna do those virtually. And hopefully people will chime in either by video or by telephone and participate in those. And, ask people to, stay up to speed on what's happening. Be comfortable that your government is under control. And, we have a great relationship between the House, the Senate, and the governor's office, and all three parties are working together to make sure that people have what they need. And if they feel like they're not getting what they need, they ought to reach out to my office, either by telephone, by email, Facebook, any way that you're comfortable with, and we'll try to help you as quickly as possible. That's what I've been spending most of my time. There are a lot of people out there who have a lot of different things going on in their personal lives, with their business lives, and we're trying to get their issues handled as quickly as possible. And we'll continue to do that until this pandemic has reached a peak or reached an end, and that we can get back to normal lives.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And Franklin Matters has on the top post the link to the Town of Franklin COVID page, I probably should add yours and Senator Becca Rausch and Senator Spilka's as well, because they also cover our area as well, so that everybody will have kind of the one place to go. But yeah, we're trying to spread the word, keep people informed. And again, thank you very much for your time and for all your efforts.
Well, thank
be
you.
Be well. And if we need to do this more frequently, certainly let me know. We can do that. And if we want to, we can certainly see how the virtual meeting goes. And if we want to do more of those, the technology is here. Let's use it.
No, I love it. And I truly appreciate everything you're doing, and look forward to speaking with you many times over the next couple of weeks.
All right. Thank you.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends or neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.